Hello and welcome to the Influencer Effect podcast. I have a very special guest today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes. Hi, guys. I'm Libby Amber Shio, previously Libby Amber Walker. And I am a New York City born and raised influencer that grew a social media following from pretending to be my Jewish mother during COVID. So I was inspired by my mother freaking out over how to use Zoom, hand sanitizers going to cost hundreds of dollars, and the Jewish mother Cheryl Cohen was born. TikTok shared my first video on their Instagram story, tagged me in it, and the rest was history. And now I do Jewish comedy, I do wedding content, POV content for camp, for sorority, Greek life stuff. So it's been a fun journey in the Jewish comedy and lifestyle space.
That is amazing. What inspired you to start posting?
Yeah, so I graduated with an acting degree during COVID. Pretty weird time. Can't really perform on a stage. Can't really, you know, be seen by casting people. And I was also interested in talent management and casting at the time. So all my interviews were canceled because theater was canceled. And I turned to the one thing that was not canceled online, which was TikTok. And I almost at the time was giving up my dreams of performing. And this was a way to perform online, be a character, but also produce, edit, become your own. I say influencers are their own production house company. So I was really editing on my feet for the first time in a while, aside from like iMovie when you're younger.
Yeah.
And I just, once I started getting a following or people interested in that type of content, I just kept going because I feel like when you started, everyone's like, find a niche. So you're just playing around and you're like, haha, I'm on TikTok during COVID. And then that one video goes boom. And you're like, all right, I'll listen now. So for me, that was when TikTok posted my first video on their Instagram story. I was like, all right, this is the moment. This is what I'm going to do. And we'll see what happens with that.
And was the video that TikTok posted, was that like your first viral video?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Jewish Moms on Passover in 2020.
That is so funny. So you kind of have a unique approach that I feel like a lot of other influencers don't have. A lot of influencers, yes, post about their life, like day to day, you'll see a day in the life, you'll see like a come work out with me sort of situation. You post about your life, but you almost do it in skit form and in comedic form. Was there anyone who inspired you to do that? Like, how did you end up like with that specific niche?
Such a great question. I think at the beginning, I really was like, I have no idea what's happening. And really was just throwing things at the wall. But my friends always loved when I would talk about my own Jewish mother experiences. And they were like, oh my God, like, this is so fun. And Marvelous Mrs. Maisel had just come out around that time. And I was so obsessed. Like, my goal was if there would ever be a Broadway show to like be Mrs. Maisel. And so I took from that, and I took from Fran Drescher, and I took from Janice from Friends, and there came the, oh my God. And when people meet my mom, they're like, she doesn't, and I'm like, yeah, she doesn't sound like that. It's inspired by her, but with a combination of some Friends, some Janice, and some Mrs. Maisel, and actually one of the first articles about what I was doing on Forbes was Modern Mrs. Maisel. So that was really fun and exciting, and just to like give credit where credit is due.
That is so cool. Like, Forbes wrote an article about you. I think this happens a lot in influencing and it's not talked about enough. What is that process like when a major publishing company or any major news outlet reaches out to you and they want to, you know, write a story about your content?
I think it's interesting because when you first start influencing, you think you're not doing enough yet, or maybe it's not worth an article, but everybody starts somewhere. And instead of seeing the number, I was seeing that what I was doing was working. So I just started reaching out to a bunch of people organically, and I was really spending all my hours on Clubhouse in 2020, just talking to anyone and everything, and created these Jewish mom breakout rooms where I would like try to set people up and be like, it's your 5-minute reminder that Benji is in fact a lawyer. Okay. And I would have fun with it. And some people found me through that, one of them being a contributor, a writer. His name was Peter. He's amazing. And so I DM'd with him a little bit. And he was like, yeah, I got you. I got you. I'll write something. And I was like, awesome. Like, so excited. And then it kept getting delayed and delayed and delayed. And it was months of following up. And then he was like, you know what? I'm actually going to introduce you to a friend. And then it was months and months and months of following up. And he's like, I'm getting married, but like, let's do a Forbes article on this day after my wedding. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. Okay. Like, I don't think it really processed in my head because at that point, it was the persistence of continuing to reach out. And so then I had that call scheduled, and I didn't even like tell anyone because I didn't believe myself that it was real. And then it was Josh Weiss who wrote the article. We got on a call. It was amazing. My Jewish mom, who worked in PR at the time, was like, well, like, you didn't tell me. And I was like, I barely understood. But it was really fun and exciting. But the biggest lesson I learned from that is like, continue to follow up. Like, you're not annoying. Like, opportunities will not be handed to you unless you go for it. And then something bigger might come out of it.
That is such good advice. And like, I always wrap up my podcast by asking each influencer advice they have for people who want to go into content creation. So we'll get into that at the end. But that piece of advice is so important and good. Like, I think behind all of the successful content creators, there's drive and like, people constantly telling you, like, that's stupid, don't do that. And, like, whether they're like literally saying that to you or you can see the eye roll when you mention that you want to become a content creator, it's all in the same. You get that feeling from people. And I think that's such great advice. Like, be persistent. Like, don't tell yourself you're being annoying. You're advocating for yourself. When did you realize that this could be a career? Like, when did you realize this is something viable? I'm building a business. This isn't just something I'm doing as like a side gig, something for fun. You know, I mean, I'm not saying it's not fun. It is fun, but like, when did you realize like this could be a career?
So, full transparency, as of a month ago, I'm doing this full time. So, super new, super great. But to get me there, when I first started posting content, I really didn't know that much about editing. And even still, I feel like I'm learning something new every day. I like watching other people edit content in front of me when we're making content because I'm always learning new tricks and to work smarter, not harder. So immediately, my goal was to work on any account and just learn on my feet and let them trust me. So as soon as I started posting, I was freelancing for different Jewish organizations, for Hillel International, for Aish, like running their TikToks. I work with Lost Tribe, and I did like their first Jewish creator content network podcast called Jewish Mom Approved. Loved all of that. Decided to do a podcast with my co-host and I called Schmuck Boys, which we've been doing for the last 3 years. All kind of being born from this time of just trying any consulting, Jewish game company, the Brooklyn Hilton Hotel. And that led me to a full-time job in skincare, and beauty was awesome. I loved working in the beauty space, but I realized I missed the humor aspect out of it a lot. So as much as I learned, I kind of took a step back there, and I was manifesting a job at an agency where I was a content creator. And eventually, I ended up getting the role, and I was there for the last 2.5 years doing TikTok for like Sour Patch Kids, for Tums, for Nutter Butter, and got to work on some really cool clients. And the goal was always to get an amazing social media foundation, and then from there, start consulting and helping and getting a manager and working on my own content throughout. So that's really what led me there. I think having that experience at an agency, working on the brand, seeing how they do influencer marketing and campaigns, it makes you understand being an influencer so much more because you know what brands are looking for. And it makes you want to look for the right manager and really see the industry all the way through. So I think once I had all of those tools, it made it a lot easier.
You kind of answered what my next question was going to be, but you worked on the back end while you were also creating content yourself. You already touched on this a little bit, but like, what advice do you have for content creators out there after seeing the back end, like for creators who are working with brands, working with like, you know, those major corporations? Like, what advice do you have for that?
One of the biggest transitions, I think, from like working in-house, working for clients, working for myself, the biggest thing I have felt switched over is as a creator, you have so much power than you think you do. And when you're working under a client or in-house, like you want to please the client, you want to please them. But when you're being signed as a creator, you have the power to say no. You have the power to come up with the concept. There's so much more that goes into it. Like, of course, there's legal rules and everything, but you are the brain. Like, they can set you up for as much as possible. So I think sometimes I have my must please client, and sometimes I have my, but I'm the influencer. So I'm like working on merging the two together.
Yeah, no, and I think, I mean, I personally was selfishly asking that question as like a newer influencer, also wanting to know like what is it like on the back end for brands? 'Cause I really don't know. And like it's cool hearing like influencers do have that power. Obviously, be respectful, but also advocate for your brand if they're asking for you to do something that you're like, that is so off brand.
Like, you don't have to be like, yes, I will do this and not speak up for yourself. Like, I've seen so many brands take advantage of influencers, but I've also seen influencers take advantage of brands. Like, of course, there's a line to be drawn. Granted, a lot of my experience was really coming up with ideas for the brand accounts throughout all of my experiences. Producing, pitching a TikTok idea to clients is the same way you as an influencer would pitch an idea and be like, hey, this is what I want to work on.
No, 100%. And I have a couple experiences doing that as well. And like, luckily, the brands I've worked with have been so amazing and so receptive of like my ideas, which obviously is the ideal situation. But I also know some influencers have had experiences with the opposite. And you don't have to name names, but have you had any crazy experiences on the back end working with influencers? Any stories you can tell?
So unfortunately, no, because I was mostly just posting
Mm.
and like coming up with concepts, but I can talk about a positive experience I had.
Yeah. Yeah.
I went to an emergency activation where Anna Sitar was there for mocktail happy hour event, and she was just so sweet and lovely to work with. It literally felt like we were friends, and like even though I was there to like shoot content for the brand, it was just so cool to see an idea coming together and being in person. And just like getting to meet someone you already loved online, being part of a brand that you love and that you're working on every day and you know everything about, and social media strategy. Like, to me, now I want to help so many influencers come up with a social media strategy and content pillars, and how important it is to have like a social media base. And that's one of the things I'm offering in my Libby Embershayo Creative Consulting. I offer like a behind the scenes package. So if influencers have events or want any behind the scenes whatsoever, you're on daytime television, you're speaking, you're going to an event and you have a plus one and you need to film content, like I'll be your girl. And then the other one is wedding content. So doing wedding content creation, I just got married and I did the whole thing in 5 months and I did all of my wedding content creation on my own. So, I think with the brand side of like working quick on your feet at a brand event, being an influencer, going to the brand events, and getting married, all is like coming into fruition and becoming what I'm offering and what I love to do now.
You are really in this industry from like all different angles. Like
It's a
that is
little chaotic. I'm like working on, I'm simplifying a little bit, but yeah.
that's so cool. And I mean, such great experiences to have as someone in this industry. I know you posted a lot of content for your wedding and congrats, mazel tov, on your wedding.
Thank you so much.
That is so exciting. I eat up wedding content.
Great. I'll be posting a lot more.
I
Get
love it. I just had Carly on, Carly Silverman, and
ready.
we talked about her wedding and stuff, and I was like, tell me everything. So I'm gonna ask you the same, like, what was it like from a bride's perspective in the 21st century, a content creator as well? What was the wedding content process like?
So, I got engaged in April. I got married in September.
Wow.
5 months, the whole
Wow.
thing. And now I've been married for 6 months, which means that I've now been married longer than I planned a wedding.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So I married a nice Jewish boy. We had a nice Syrian Ashkenazi Jewish wedding. It was beautiful. From the proposal, you know, he pretty much killed it on his own. The only thing I wanted was like to be dressed nicely in the case that there was content, which obviously as a content creator, we knew there would be. And also just like, I wanted to be dressed appropriately. I didn't want to underdress.
Yeah.
I would say. So he killed that. He essentially did like a surprise proposal and left clues in my apartment. So he had left. I just said goodbye to him. His mom called him and was like, we're going Passover shopping. And I was like, okay, bye. There's no reason not to believe him.
Yeah.
And to my knowledge, he didn't even have a ring yet. So he had all my friends text me, check under the couch. I told them all, go away, leave me alone, enough already, stop bothering me. Didn't believe them. And they're like, no, check under the couch. So I did, had white shoes. And then they were like, check under your desk. And it was a ring pop. And then they were like, check behind your door in your room. I was like, I don't even know how he, what? And it was like, somebody's coming. So then I like run into the shower. I'm crying. I'm like, oh my God, I don't know. And then there's a knock on the door and I'm like, who is it? And it was my friend my only married friend. And so she helped me get ready. She put me in a car. Now I'm dressed. I have no idea where we're going. And I couldn't see the directions on the Uber. So I'm like, what is happening?
Everybody's like peeking over.
Yeah, I'm like, obviously I know it's about to go down, but I don't know anything of it. And then he takes me out of the car. There's flowers, there's violins playing Anyone by Justin Bieber. So it was really special and a big marry me sign. And it was just the two of us, but there were a crowd of random people, of course, watching because it's New York City. And then in regards to engagement party, I did like some brand deal stuff. So we did like content before, a little overwhelming, but it's fine. We got it done. And then bridal shower, all of the food was kosher, Jewish, everything intertwined in one. So I recorded and had visions, and my now husband was super helpful. And that I would say I did like the most for, and for Bachelorette and everything, I had like PR. We carved in like film time into the Bachelorette, and it was amazing. Everyone had the best time, and everyone was so embarrassed that the video did so well. They were like, oh my God, no, because we did the like very demure, very mindful, very cutesy with his heads.
Oh, that's so funny.
And the heads were brand dealed, the pajamas were brand dealed. So it was a really good time, and I made like merchandise for everyone, like nice Jewish bride, nice Jewish bridesmaid. I did my husband's merch for his, and then for the wedding, I mean, everyone's like, you can't use your phone, da 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 da. I had 12 girls, 12 bridesmaids. They're all amazing, and they pretty much all carried my phone around for a majority of the wedding, and I had the photographer, videographer send me all raw everything. So to this day, I'm still putting it together, but that was really like the process behind everything. And to be honest, that was the part that kept me sane, like to have the control to be able to do that and to create those memories, because I'm such a sentimental person when it comes to like looking back. So
that is so beautiful and also so cool, and a very like, I think it's cool to hear about like a modern experience as a bride who's also a content creator, because like people will be like, oh, like you don't want to make your wedding about content, blah, blah, blah. No, like it's the same as capturing pictures and videos for your wedding, except we now have a better idea how to do it, you know? Like yeah. If you want your modern wedding, have your modern wedding, like for sure. But I know I'm going to want all the content. I'm going to want all of that. Like it's just more and more to look back on as well. So right. I think that's really, really cool. And like also so cool that you got to work with brands to like bring your just vision to life as well.
And I worked with the brand that like made me sneakers on my wedding day and the headpiece.
Yeah.
The ketubah was from ketubah.com, and literally like mid service, I'm like, Kutuba.com. And like, we literally clipped it. And that was the video they used for a paid ad. So I just had so much fun. Like, it didn't feel like a distraction for me. It felt like, this is comforting. This is what I know. And it wasn't like I'm editing the videos in my wedding. Like, of course not. But it was comforting knowing, like, every second of this day, I just want to live for as long as possible.
Yeah, every second is going to be captured for, like, all eternity, which is beautiful. And, like,
and like that's why I want to offer it for other people, because I know how important it was for me to have it. And I know how hard it is to trust people. And I know so many people are doing it. But I also think it's great when you see a bride who did it themselves now offer it.
Maybe I'll hire you for my future wedding.
Okay. Let's work together.
Yes. Oh my God. No, I'm sure it would be amazing. But also, like, I just want to say, like, I know there are people out there who'd be like, no, like, stick their nose up at like having like sort of content created at your wedding.
And I don't think you got it either too, by the way, like before my wedding, like, what do I need one for? Mm-hmm. And then I did it for myself after seeing everything. I'm like, okay, like, I'm really lucky I had all these people do that for me.
Exactly. It's just, it's more to remember. And also, if you don't want it, don't do it. But you don't have to, like, you know, I've seen people be like kind of shame others for doing stuff like that as well. So if you don't want it for yourself, don't do it. But don't, you know, hate on others for getting all the content they want.
What about a first look video with you and your husband that you can watch forever? You know, like, that's so special.
100%.
And when you get your wedding video from a videographer, they're going to send you a 2.5 hour video that you can't even download. It's so big.
Yeah. No.
It's beautiful to spend 2 hours and watch your wedding. Like, that's great and all, but like, mini clips.
Exactly. And that's what everyone's like watching anyway nowadays. Save all those mini clips, save all those like beautiful moments. Like, I think it's a really cool concept. And, yeah, no, Carly also talked about hiring someone on the day to like do all the content for her. And I was like, that's so cool. Like, that was the first time I ever really thought about that being a thing. Yeah. But it's so interesting to hear it from your perspective as someone who also now does that for other brides. So yeah, that is really cool. Switching gears a little bit, but also kind of staying on the same track that you do this for other brides, but like, you have a lot of different avenues, like from what we've heard, which is so cool. Like, boss, bitch, love it. What is a day in the life like for you? Like, I'm sure it's different every day, but I am so curious. I ask this a lot, but I'm very curious for you because you have so many different avenues going.
I would say in the last month, it's different than what it was. Like, from what it was agency 9 to 5, influencer event, post your video. And it kind of felt like I was just doing the movements to do it for whatever was after work. I absolutely loved the brand stuff and focusing there. But I think for right now, I'm like, I want to give my account the love it deserved, especially after, you know, wedding planning, that's super stressful. And, you know, when you're first starting a new job, maybe you're not posting as much. But I feel so much more creative now that I'm in an element where I'm like, okay, I'm doing this for me now. So a day in the life has been like, I have my content days. I've been creating content with other creators. I have been going to a lot of events. I went to the TikTok office, an Adobe event. I went to the Snapchat office for another event. So I'm really trying to go to as much as possible in New York, be a sponge, meet with old contacts. Yesterday I went to the Glowbar HQ. I'm obsessed with Glowbar. And it's just been really fun because I'm a big advocate, kind of like I said before, on when you start something new, people only know what you're doing if you tell them. So I'm just getting the word out and starting the consulting business now. Yesterday, I filmed with a friend some behind the scenes of a shoot for her. So that was really cool. And I have a lot of weddings. Of friends. So I've been going to a lot of weddings and posting as much as I can for those people because I know how special it is, and get some practice under my wing and show people like I want to help them too. But it's been very different per day. And I've been filming a lot of podcasts, thankfully. Ooh. And we've been doing podcasts on Schmuck Boys as well every 2 weeks.
That's awesome. I mean, you are doing it all. You're being a boss. You're like living the content creation, influencer, freelancer dream. I love that. So you just freshly quit your full-time job, or I don't know exactly what happened, but you have become a full-time content creator now. Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? Where do you see you building this business? Like, what do you think, like, what are your goals basically?
Yeah, so I just signed with talent management, which I'm really excited about. And in regards to consulting, I would love to see myself at a lot more weddings. I'm really interested in the daytime television world. So I would love to work with some daytime television shows on a social media capacity, potentially even being on air and like sharing my story and what I'm doing. And I miss performing. I miss acting. So if ever there's an opportunity through everything I'm doing online, I would love a formal role of some sort. I don't know exactly what that looks like just yet. And for the podcast to hopefully become an even bigger thing down the line.
That's awesome. I mean, I totally see all those things happening for you, like just by talking to you for the short amount of time. I can tell you are a hard worker. Like, you get stuff done, which is amazing and something I'm like striving to do as well, because it can be hard sometimes to be running your own business. There's no guarantee, but you just basically have to, like you said, push and advocate for yourself. It's hard, and there's a lot of people out there trying to do it, and a lot of successful people out there, and some, you know, not as. So, like, you really have to try and put your best foot forward. And my takeaway from like just meeting you is like, you are a go-getter, which is awesome. And I think is so inspirational as well. Of course. What advice do you have for people who want to go into content creation?
Stop thinking about it. Just post it. Yeah. I mean, unless you really think you're going to offend someone by posting it, then you don't. You don't post that video. But in regards to what everyone else thinks, it doesn't matter. The amount of people when I first started being like, oh my God, they're like, what is she doing? Like, my own following didn't even know what my real voice was for like maybe a full year and a half. And that was probably crazy for people who knew me either from college, from high school, from camp, whatever it might be. Just post it. And I also think it's an adjustment when you first start, when you see people you haven't seen for the first time in a while and you're like, how are you? And they're like, oh, I'm good. How are you? I saw that blah, 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 blah thing you posted and the da, 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 da. Start to get comfortable with people seeing and knowing what you're doing without you telling them. I would say that was like one of the biggest culture shocks. Like, whoa, you know a lot. You know exactly what I'm doing when I first started. And then if you're nervous about going into full time, I'm nervous too. We're all nervous. No, if people aren't telling you that, they're lying to you. But I think it's really important to tell yourself that it's going to work out and to have multiple avenues, that if one thing doesn't work out, you have other things. Like, if I decide I want to work on a brand account tomorrow, I think I could enjoy that too. But for right now, I think where the priorities are, I love doing it for myself. And then the other piece of advice is, if you're an influencer and you have yet to work on a brand for a little bit, even just for a little, or influencer marketing, I think you will learn so much just being behind the scenes and understanding a little bit. Like, if you're an influencer who's like, I'm not getting that many brand deals, or, you know, they're not accepting the concepts that I pitch. I think it's a really great way to challenge your brain and your mindset when you see everything on the ground. It just makes you more well-versed. It gives you different experience.
Definitely. And I think that's really cool. And I also think that's why a lot of influencers do come from the like working in social media, working in influencer marketing background. A lot of the successful influencers you see is because they're getting to see from both ends what it's like to be in this field, which is really crucial and important. And as someone who's new to this, like, something I also want to look into as well. And also, I think something that's great that you've talked about a bit is having so many different avenues when you're working. You're not just like, okay, my TikTok is my full-time job. No, you're like, I'm going to help brides create content. I'm going to work with different brands like you did throughout the years. Like, and I think that's really important as well. Start a podcast. That's what I decided to do. And having like all those different avenues is like really, really crucial as well. So yeah, that's awesome.
And have some good friends support you in the beginning. I feel like that's really important. If your friends are responding by you sending a video in the chat more than once and they're just not, they're probably not going to be the ones that you can expect to support you on the ride and the journey, but that's okay because there will be other people who will. And I've met so many friends from like posting online. It's such a crazy concept. Like half the people at my wedding were from online. I semi met my husband because of my online presence. So wow. You literally never know. Like just post the video.
No, that's 100% true. And I've connected with so many incredible people who I would have never connected with.
Never. Before. Like, hello, we're on this podcast right now. Yeah. We met on Ro Khanna's Zoom about the TikTok ban and one of the most stressful moments ever. And I was like, wait a minute. I think I've seen her on my For You page. And now we're doing a podcast together. And it's the beginning of so much more, I feel like. So
100%. I mean, like I said at the beginning, we already have so much in common. Like just speaking with you for 10 minutes, I was like, yep, I was in a sorority. I went to overnight camp, like so much in common. So yeah, you never know who you can connect with. Just
be nice to everyone because you never know who they know and what opportunity they can give you.
Yeah, I just think life advice, be nice to everyone. Like, because there's too many not so nice people out there. And luckily within the influencer community, I have had almost all positive experiences, which
so amazing.
Is great. Unfortunately, we're almost out of time, but I do want you to plug yourself. You kind of have shared a bit about your podcast and stuff like that, but just lay it all out. Where can we find you?
Yes. So Libby Amber Shio on TikTok, on Instagram, on YouTube Shorts, on Facebook, on Threads, working on there, okay?
Me too.
Yeah. And LibbyEmbershio.com for my website to see some of my highlighted work and portfolio. If you want to work together, LibbyEmbershio@gmail.com. And if you want to partner on any brand deals or anything like that, you can email my manager, MMiller@pairpop.com. And yeah, I'm excited to help in the bride department, the behind the scenes department, or the make a creator package. And you can find it all on my website.
That is amazing. Like I said, you're doing it all. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
One more thing. Yeah. And our podcast, Schmuck Boys.
Yes.
I've been on Spotify and Apple with my co-host Marla Friedson and on Instagram at Schmuck Boys Official.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.